The following is a class given on Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th Canto, Chapter 10, Text 13, given by His Holiness Gopalakrishna Goswami Maharaj, recorded on 22nd of April 1996 in New Delhi.
Gopi Jana Bala Bha Yuvala Dhari Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Ogena Punyam Kushalena Papam Kalevanam Kala Javena Hedva Kirtin Visudham Sura Loka Gititam Vithaya Mam Keshati Mukta Bandha. So we hear in the Bhagavatam, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is responding to the great devotee Prahlad Maharaj. We have seen in the earlier chapters that Hiranyakashipu was torn apart by the Lord in the incarnation of Lord Narsingadev. Very soon, on May the 2nd, we are going to be celebrating the appearance day of Lord Narsingadev. So Lord Narsingadev is the incarnation of the Lord that appeared to protect his devotee, to protect the promises given by his devotee Brahma, and to annihilate the demon, namely Hiranyakashipu. So after Hiranyakashipu was killed, the Lord was very pleased by Prahlad. So Hiranyakashipu was killed because Hiranyakashipu was getting ready to kill the Lord's beloved devotee Prahlad. And the Lord was so angry that even the demigods were hesitant in approaching the Lord. But Prahlad Maharaj finally did approach the Lord without any hesitancy. And the Lord was very, very pleased by the garland that was offered to him by Prahlad Maharaj. So the Lord, being pleased by his beloved devotee's efforts, he offered him a benediction. He said, Prahlad, what type of benediction do you want? Just like we also see in the Bhagavatam, that Dhruva Maharaj had pleased the Lord by his austerities. And the Lord was so pleased that then he offered Dhruva Maharaj any benediction that he may like. But Dhruva Maharaj said, my dear Lord, I was looking for broken katras, but now I found a diamond. So I really do not want any benediction but a benediction to just engage in service to you. So Prahlad Maharaj said, I don't want any opulence from you. I don't want any benediction. I don't want to be a businessman with you. In the mature world, you know, everybody enters into a relationship with the purpose of getting some benefit. That is why people approach demigods also. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Kame Sate Hitta Jnana Prapadantinya Devata. That those who are influenced by different material lusty desires, they go to the demigods. And the demigods get pleased and give them a benediction, which ultimately is actually coming from me. So Prahlad Maharaj did not want to have a relationship with the Lord or one of business. That is, in exchange for all this, in exchange for the difficulty that Prahlad had to undergo, he should get some benefit. Prahlad did not want any material benefit in exchange. So Prahlad Maharaj refused to ask the Lord for any material benediction. Rather, Prahlad Maharaj said, my dear Lord, Please do not tempt me with these benedictions. I am born in an atheistic family. From my birth, I've been engaged in so many sinful activities. Don't tempt me with any material attraction. So the Lord was actually very, very pleased by the mood that was exhibited by Prahlad Maharaj. We should not forget at this point that Prahlad Maharaj is a Mahajan or a spiritual authority, as it is stated in the third chapter of the sixth canto, Sayambhu Narada Sambhu Kamara Kapilo Mano Prahlado Janaka Bhismo Bani Vaidya Sakirvaya. There are 12 spiritual authorities, one of whom is Prahlad Maharaj. So the Lord was very pleased by the wonderful mood of pure devotional service that was exhibited by Prahlad Maharaj. And after hearing the wonderful mood of devotional service, of pure devotional service that was exhibited by Prahlad Maharaj, the Lord is responding to the mood of Prahlad Maharaj. And the verses prior to this, the Lord has explained how one should, even living in the material world, be absorbed in meditating on the instructions of the Lord. The material world is a dangerous place to be in. It's dangerous because there are the temptations of the illusory energy. There is danger at every step. So, as Prabhupada used to explain, we should make the best use of a bad bargain. The material body is a bad bargain, whether it is in your possession or my possession. The material body is a bad bargain because the material body is guaranteed to give you 7 different types of difficulties or miseries. Therefore, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna gives the example of the lotus flower that is in water, but it is untouched by the water. So similarly, we have to live in the material world such a way that we can always remember the activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We can always glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And if we always remember the activities of the Lord and glorify the unlimited transcendental attributes of the Lord, then you will get attracted to the Lord and become free from the reaction of material activities. Now, in this verse and purport, Prabhupada is meaning several points. One point that Prabhupada is explaining is the nature of Nitya Siddha and Sadhana Siddha devotees of the Lord. There are Nitya Siddha devotees and there are Sadhana Siddha devotees of the Lord. Actually, in an earlier verse in the same chapter, Prabhupada has very clearly concluded on Prahlad Maharaj's identity. Prabhupada has very clearly established that Prahlad Maharaj is a Nitya Siddha devotee of the Lord. What is a Nitya Siddha devotee of the Lord? A Nitya Siddha devotee of the Lord is one who comes from Vaikuntha, one who comes from the spiritual world. But he comes from the spiritual world with just one mission. And that mission is to deliver the message of Godhead. And a Nitya Siddha devotee of the Lord does not in any way get influenced by the material opulence or the society in which one may live. Just like Dhruva Maharaj, he had the opportunity to rule over the planet for 36,000 years, but he did not in any way get affected by the opulence. So Prahlad Maharaj is a Mahabhagavat devotee of the Lord, and from his very childhood, his concern was only how he could make everyone Krishna conscious. That was his only concern. King Prahlad Maharaj has said in his prayers that, "My dear Lord, I have learned the art of remembering you, but my concern is for those who are actually always forgetting you." So the Nitya Siddha devotee, and Prabhupada also in the purport gives the example of Narada Muni. Have Narada Muni in his previous, one of his previous births, was the son of a maidservant, and how by being the son of a maidservant, he just had the opportunity to, his mother, Narada Muni's mother, was a maidservant in the house of great sages. So he would have the opportunity for 4 months in a year to listen to the great sages and to eat the remnants of foodstuff left by the great sages. And how, as a result of that, he became spiritually so elevated that even when his mother died, he did not in any way get disturbed. Because the devotee knows that the time factor will take away everyone. Prabhupada talks about this in the purport, about the influence of the time factor. So the time factor destroys everything. Time I am, the destroyer of everything. So we should not forget that however attached one may be to his body, to his possessions, to the extensions of his body, the time factor will make sure that you get separated. The time factor will make sure that if you have a melodious voice, the voice doesn't remain melodious. If you have a beautiful face, the face doesn't remain beautiful. The time factor will make sure that if you have a beautiful house, you may not enjoy it for very long. In other words, the time factor will make sure that everything gets separated. Therefore, one who is intelligent, he doesn't get attached to all these material allurements. He knows that these material allurements are only temporary attractions. Therefore, he uses the opulence in service of the Lord. Prabhupada makes this point in the earlier verses in this chapter, how a devotee of the Lord uses all his opulences in service of the Lord. He never for a minute thinks that he is the enjoyer. As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Bhoktaram yakya taposam sarva loka maheshwaram. That is, Krishna is, the great sages know, that Krishna is the supreme enjoyer of everything. Bhoktaram yakya taposam. So, Krishna is the ultimate enjoyer of everything. And a devotee of the Lord, when he's offered the material opulences, he doesn't want to enjoy for himself, but he wants to offer it back to the Lord. Just like we saw in the case of Srila Prabhupada also, on this, more recently on this planet, Prabhupada was offered so much opulence, so much facilities. His disciples all over the world would give him donations, dakshin, etc. But Prabhupada never used even a paisa for himself. Prabhupada was so careful with using Krishna's property that even when people would write a letter to him, they would take the envelope, tear the envelope apart, and the inside of the envelope was unused. He would use it for writing notes. Why? Because he said this is Krishna's property and it should not be wasted. So, a devotee, one who is fixed in service to the Lord, he uses all his opulence in serving the Supreme Lord. So the Nitya Siddha devotee is eternally liberated. Then there is another category of devotee that Prabhupada talks about in the purport, and we had referred to, that is known as Sadhana Siddha devotee of the Lord. Now what is a Sadhana Siddha devotee of the Lord? A Sadhana Siddha devotee of the Lord is one who is not born as a liberated individual. One may not even be born in the family of devotees. One may be born in the family of lectures. But by following the process of purification, he becomes purified. Rupa Goswami talks about the process of sadhana bhakti in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And in our parampara, this process of sadhana bhakti is emphasized as a key factor if you wish to make spiritual advancement. So what does sadhana bhakti mean? It is important that you understand what sadhana bhakti means, because unless you understand what sadhana bhakti means, you won't understand how you can become a sadhana siddha devotee of the Lord. So Rupa Goswami explains that on the spiritual path, there are many rules and regulations to follow. And unless we follow these rules and regulations, one cannot actually develop love of God. So we have these rules and regulations. What are the rules? You must chant 16 rounds every day. You must come to Mangal Aarti every day. If you are a grihastha living at home, away from the temple, then you can have a Mangal Aarti in your house. You must come to Bhagavatam class. If you are a grihastha living away from the temple, you can read the Bhagavatam at home. You must chant your rounds every day, etc. So this process of sadhana bhakti is a key weapon in our endeavor to free ourselves of the anarthas. Anarthas are represented by kam, krodh, lobh, moh, mad, matsarya. Lust, anger, greed, envy, hatred. These are all different aspects of weaknesses that are responsible for keeping us entangled in material existence, as a result of which the living entity has to transmigrate from one body to another body. Many times people say, why do you have to follow so many rules and regulations? Just like a sick patient, he has to take the medicine to cure himself. So similarly, we are all spiritually sick. Materially we may look healthy, but spiritually we are all sick. Spiritually we are all blind. Therefore, the process of sadhana bhakti is very strongly emphasized in our ISKCON movement and in our sampradaya. That is why Prabhupada, when he first started the Krishna conscious movement, he handwrote, everybody must attend morning class, evening class, Mangal Aarti, etc. Because that's the key to spiritual advancement. Now, if you follow this process of sadhana bhakti, then you will get to the stage where you will develop spontaneous attraction for the Lord. And when you sincerely follow the process of sadhana bhakti all your life, then you'll become a sadhana siddha devotee of the Lord. In other words, just by following the rules and regulations, you will be able to go back to Godhead. Just like Parikshit Maharaj, he was delivered by hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam from the lips of Shukadeva Goswami. So anybody who hears the transcendental messages of Godhead from a bona fide source will get the same benefit today, deep Kali Yuga, that Parikshit Maharaj had obtained 5,000 years ago. So anybody who follows the process of sadhana bhakti, it doesn't matter where your birth has been. It doesn't matter what your family background has been. It doesn't matter what your background was before you came to Krishna consciousness. What matters is that from now onwards, you rectify yourself. From now onwards, you rectify yourself not to repeat the mistakes you've done in the past. Just like I've given you all these examples, Prabhupada used to say about, there's a story how when Prabhupada was initiating a devotee who was a butcher. That devotee was a butcher, but a butcher or cook in a restaurant. And when he was getting initiated, Prabhupada told him, no more sinning. So what it takes to the path of sadhana bhakti, what it takes, he becomes self-realized. So when you follow the process very rigidly, then you can also become self-realized. That is known as sadhana siddha. In other words, Nitya Siddha is a devotee who is eternally liberated, who comes into the spiritual world to deliver humanity with the message of Godhead. Sadhana Siddha, on the other hand, is one who is born a conditioned being, one who is born in a, maybe born in a Mlecha family, maybe born in a Brahmanika family, but who follows the process, and by following the process, then he becomes self-realized. So we may not be Nitya Siddha, that if we follow the process of sadhana bhakti, then we can all become sadhana siddha devotees. Prabhupada has said many times that the purpose of this Krishna conscious movement is to make pure devotees. Another point that is touched upon in this verse and purport is the nature of pious and impious activities. Now, Nandas Thakur has very clearly said, Prema Bhakti Chandika Karma Khanda Jnana Khanda Kevala Vishvera Bandha. So he says, Karma Khanda and Jnana Khanda, fruitive activities and speculation, they are both actually causes of bondage. They are both actually pots of poison. Narottam Das Thakur gives a very vivid example. He says that even if you drink poison from a golden cup, the golden cup is not going to be able to save from the dangerous effects of poison, isn't it? So similarly, Karma Khanda and Jnana Khanda are both to be avoided by the transcendentalist. The transcendentalist, as Prabhupada has explained, is only interested in Anukalena Krishna Silalim Bhaktir Uttama Anya Vilasita Sunyam Jnana Karmadi Anavratam Anukalena Krishna Silalim Bhaktir Uttama. This is a very famous verse of Rupa Goswami, in which Rupa Goswami explains that the perfect devotee serves, which is the devotion, that is the highest devotion, where one wants to serve the Lord, expecting anything in return at all. Jnana Khanda, Karma Khanda, both are to be avoided by the devotee. Now, Karma Khanda is, as we've heard many times, is a type of business transaction with the Lord. It is a business transaction with the Lord in the sense you do some sacrifices, you do some offerings, but in exchange for those sacrifices and offerings, you want some material benefit. Now, it is explained in this verse how the results of pious activities are also temporary. Just like, for example, if you want to go to America, the land of opportunity or milk and honey, you may get a long-term visa. So you may get a long-term visa which may allow you to stay there, let's say, 5 years, 10 years. But then, when your visa is over, you have to come back to your native country. So similarly, when you execute Karma Khanda activities, you will get in exchange some material benefit. You may get promoted to heavenly planets. You may take birth in the family of Mr. Birla or Tata, where you can live like a king all your life. You may become a very handsome man, a big movie star where everybody will touch your feet. You may become a very great scholar. You are recognized. You become a Nobel laureate. But the results of all this is going to be temporary. Just like Prabhupada gave the example of the aeroplane. The aeroplane can stay in the sky only as long as it has enough fuel. Before the fuel runs out, the aeroplane must come down. So similarly, pious activities or karma khanda, based upon the piety you execute, you get a limited duration of enjoyment. And then when you exhaust your quota that you're entitled to, then again you're back to square one. And usually what happens when people do pious activities, they get birth in a material and opulent environment, etc. And then when they misuse the material opulence or sense enjoyment, those very activities or those very gifts become the cause of bondage and suffering. Therefore, one who is intelligent, he doesn't go after pious activities, but rather he is after the process of pure bhakti. What is the difference between pure bhakti and pious activities? No doubt, karma kanda is 1,000 times better than atheism. Karma kanda, pious activities, is better than not coming to the Lord. But the point that has been made in these pages of the Bhagavatam is that pious activity is inferior to pure devotional service. Pure devotional service gives one the highest benefit. That is why we ask the Dev, even after having compiled the vast Vedic literature, was still unhappy. And when Narada Muni was asked why, Narada Muni explained the cause was that because he had not exclusively described, therefore, pious activity is not something that we desire, rather we are interested in executing pure devotional service. Now, another point that Prabhupada makes in the purport is that what Prabhupada says, that even while performing devotional service, a devotee has to create many enemies. So this is the nature of the material world. That even though you may be performing pure devotional service, you will still make enemies. Here, Prabhupada gives the example of Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj, what was he doing? Just telling everyone to glorify God. And in exchange for that, he made enemy. The Mahamdan ruler, who tried his best to get Haridas to stop chanting, if you had the opportunity of going to Haridas Thakur's bhajan kutir in Samadhi yesterday. So, Haridas Thakur was chanting 3 lakh times a day, but the Mahamdan ruler was very angry. He had him bit in 21 marketplaces. Wow, 22, sorry. Marketplaces, why? Just to get him to stop chanting. He was being whipped. But of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Haridas Thakur was so close to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that even though he was whipped, he went on chanting, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took on the beating on his behalf. But he also made enemies. So a devotee of the Lord, even though he does nothing to disturb the Lord, he does nothing to disturb anyone, he still makes enemies. Just like yesterday I was on the plane, so we were preaching to the air hostess, and she said, oh, why are some people criticizing you people in America? So I said, doesn't matter what you do, if you're preaching the glories of the Lord, there will always be some people who will criticize. So, a devotee of the Lord, by his preaching efforts, though he's trying to please everyone, there will always be some people who will consider him to be their enemy. Now, we should not, in our Vaishnava dealings, misunderstand this statement of Prabhupada. While performing devotional service, a devotee has to create many enemies. Suppose you don't get along well with some other devotee. You should not say, oh, what can I do? Prahlad Maharaj also had enemies, so I've also made some devotee enemies. What's the difference? This is natural. No. When it is said over here that the devotee of the Lord also makes enemies, devotee doesn't consider anyone to be his enemy. Just like Prahlad and Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu was so envious of his son Prahlad. He gave him so much trouble, and ultimately he was even ready to kill him. This should not be a surprise. People these days do abortion. That is also killing. So, even though Hiranyakashipu tried his best to harm Prahlad never considered him to be his enemy. In fact, after Hiranyakashipu was killed, Prahlad Maharaj went to his father and said, Prahlad Maharaj went to his spiritual father. He said, even though my father was demonic, I know that he was touched by you, so he's got purified. You may please give my father liberation. And the Lord replied, Prahlad, you don't have to ask. Your father is automatically liberated. And for how many generations? 21. If one becomes a pure devotee in one family, if there's one pure devotee in one family, you can liberate 21 generations of your ancestors. This is in the Srimad Bhagavatam. We are not making it up. It's in the Srimad Bhagavatam where it is said that if you become a pure devotee of the Lord, then for 21 generations you can liberate your ancestors. Now, if somebody asks you, who's your father? You'll say, he's my father. He's my grandfather. He's my great-grandfather. He's my great-great-grandfather. Isn't it? But most people don't know beyond 4 or 5 generations. Am I right? If we were to ask you to write down your 21 ancestors, none of you would be able to do it. None of you would be able to do it. But the Lord said, Prahlad, you don't have to ask me for this. He's automatically liberated. And Prabhupada goes on to explain that for 21 generations of your ancestors, they get liberated by your becoming a pure devotee. This is the power of pure devotion. If you sacrifice everything and come to the Lord and render Aituki Bhakti, then Krishna reciprocates. Doesn't matter how demoniac your father may have been. Doesn't matter how demoniac your great-grandfather may have been. But the power of pure devotion is so great that Krishna liberates. Just like, and I'm giving you a complete mundane example. To become a big man, especially a politician and all your relatives also become rich, isn't it? Isn't that now? I hear from everyone, the prime minister's relatives, everyone's become a millionaire. So anyway, your relatives also become rich if one man becomes in an influential position. So that happens, that's a material example. One man becomes a rich man, then he gives contracts to all his relatives, they all become rich also. Isn't it? We see this with our own eyes. So why is it hard to believe when Krishna said, if you become a pure devotee, I'll liberate up to 21 generations of your ancestors. Why is it hard? It should not be. So when Prahlad Maharaj went and told the Lord, please liberate my father, but the Lord said, I've already liberated your father, you don't have to ask me this. And then Prabhupada explains that up to 21 generations, you get liberated by becoming a pure devotee of the Lord. So when you become a devotee of the Lord, initially there is some pain. What is the pain? You have to tolerate a little bit of ridiculing from the society. Because it's a society of dogs, hogs, camels and asses, when you are on the spiritual path, others will laugh at you, criticize you. Your parents will say, oh, what is this? You're going and serving the Lord, you're not earning money for us. We brought you up with so much effort and so on, so on. So nobody wants that anyone should become a devotee of the Lord. Everybody wants you should just earn money so that you can get some more facilities for sense enjoyment. But when you make this sacrifice to serve the Lord doesn't forget. Though your relatives may go through a little bit of material inconvenience, Krishna rewards them by giving them benefit that even trillions of dollars cannot buy them. And that is Krishna brings them back to Him. So, pure devotional service never goes in vain. I want to read this verse to you all from the Bhagavatam. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, Svihi Sapti Pita Puta Pitrivi Sahate Naga Yat Sadho Syakule Jato Bhagavan Vaikula Pavana. Translation, the Supreme Personality of Godhead said, my dear Prahlad, O most pure, O great saintly person, your father has been purified along with 21 forefathers in your family. Because you were born in this family, the entire dynasty has been purified. And the purport by Prabhupada. The word Sri Saptami means 7 multiplied by 3. In one's family, one can count back 4 or 5 generations to one's great-grandfather or even one's great-grandfather's father. But since the Lord mentions 21 forefathers. This indicates that a benediction expands to other families also. Thus, when a Vaishnava takes birth in a family, by the grace of the Lord, he purifies not only that family, but also the families of his previous births. So your previous birth families also get purified by power of pure devotion. So this is very clearly stated in the Bhagavatam, and Prabhupada explains his mind in the purport. So when Maya is trying to tempt you into giving up pure devotional service, going after karma kanda, you must understand that if you do pure bhakti, then not only will you get real happiness, Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma, but you will also be able to give benefit to your so departed ancestors. But you must become a pure devotee. What is the definition of a pure devotee? You must only have the desire to follow and carry out the instructions of Guru, Sadhu, Shastra. That's all. Krishna doesn't say don't do business. Krishna doesn't say don't study. Krishna doesn't say don't. Krishna says whatever you do, do it as an offering unto me. It must be done with a pure motive of serving Krishna. That is how you become a pure devotee. And if you do, give up all desires for sense gratification and we execute devotional service under the orders of Guru, Sadhu, Shastra, then Krishna says you will come back to me. Not only come back to me, you will be able to liberate up to 21 generations of your ancestors. So therefore, a devotee should be very expert in always thinking of Krishna, because if you think of Krishna, you become free from the reaction reaction of birth and death. And we are not interested in pious and impious activities. We are interested in pure devotional service. We are not interested in what is auspicious, what is inauspicious. Everything that is used in service to Krishna is auspicious. And if something is not used in service to Krishna, it is inauspicious. Our real standard is, our real guideline is, our real yardstick is, is Krishna going to be served? And as Rupa Goswami says, we execute those activities which are favorable for spiritual advancement, and we reject those which are unfavorable for spiritual advancement. So to summarize the verse, the Supreme Lord is responding to the prayers of Prahlad Maharaj, in which Prahlad Maharaj has once again emphasized the mood of pure devotional service. And the Supreme Lord has pointed out that pious activity results also will run out with time. And another point that the Lord makes is that the glories of Prahlad Maharaj will be sung throughout. So even today we are discussing Prahlad Maharaj's glories, isn't it? Even today we discuss Dhruva Maharaj's glories. And how long ago they performed their leela? Thousands and thousands and thousands of years ago. Now, material glories, let's say a famous prime minister, a famous movie star, famous millionaire, how long will you remember his glories? 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years, few hundred years, then everyone is forgotten. And you don't discuss it again and again, isn't it? But the nature of the glories of the devotees of the Lord is, you never get tired of hearing this. Just like we're discussing the seventh canto of the Bhagavatam for the last so many months. And nobody is tired of it. No one. In fact, the more you hear, the more purified you become. This is the nature of spiritual topics. Therefore, the Lord is telling Prahlad that your glories will be sung even in the upper planets. Even in the upper planets, people take pleasure in hearing about the devotees of the Lord. In other words, the fame of a devotee is unlimited. That is why Chanakya Pandit asked a question. He said, who is more famous, a rich man or a saintly man? And Chanakya Pandit said, a rich man may be known just in his own village, his own town or his own country. But a saintly man is known all over the world. Like you travel anywhere in the world, people have heard of Prabhupada. But the millionaires of this city, how many people know? So, a saintly person, his glory is a sun all over, in all planetary systems. Therefore, it is more important that one becomes saintly, not because he wants his glory to be sun, but because this is the Lord's desire, and this will give one real pleasure. So our life should be molded in such a way that we can free ourselves from the influence of the illusory energy. And as the Lord says, we should concentrate in remembering the activities of the Lord. We should concentrate in glorifying the Lord. And if we act in this mentality, then we will become free from the influence of time and the reactions of pious and impious activities. Hare Krishna.